Thank you, Steve. Bill F., Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN, and always a pleasure to see psychologist Dr. John Duffy. You're an author, you're a relationship expert. Your book called The Available Parent is really helpful and amazing, so thank you for writing it.
Thanks, you, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right. We have an etiquette expert coming up, and I know with the holidays, everybody's going to be sharing their dinner together, except for Bill, who's going to a restaurant.
Mm-hmm. With my family, not just by myself.
That would be really sad. But a lot of times this is when you have like a big, huge house full of people who may not agree politically. We'll talk about that later on with the etiquette expert. But what about the kids these days? I want to bring up the protesting that happened and is still happening. Everyone has a right to do it. I have a microphone. Bill has a microphone to say, I didn't vote for Donald Trump.
Right.
I didn't want him to win, but he has won now, and I have to deal with it and move on.
Right.
When I say that, people get mad at me and say, don't tell me how to think.
Right.
We don't have to accept it. Well, we do kind of have to accept it, don't we?
I think we do have to accept it. We have to accept the reality of it. I think
you don't have to like it.
No. In fact, I think an awful lot of people don't like it, and maybe protesting is their way of saying, you know, like, hey, there's this block out there. There's this group of people that doesn't like it. And I think that, you know, people have the right to do that. And there might be something cathartic about that. And it's a start to something. What I think is missing from a lot of that is kind of the civil political discourse that, you know, that we haven't had, I think, for a very long time. You know, you hear these stories about, like, back in the day when Reagan and Tip O'Neill, who disagreed on virtually everything, could sit at a Wednesday afternoon and have lunch together for like 3 hours. Mm-hmm. I think they were tipping martinis and things, but still, I mean, you know, they were able to talk, you know. And I think, you know, the less we listen to what somebody who opposes our opinion or feels a little bit differently has to understand, I think our anxiety goes up. And my fear about the protester is that sometimes you're just doing this confirmation bias thing where you're with people who only agree with you, which is fine. But you don't learn a whole lot about somebody who disagrees with you and why they disagree, you know? And
yeah.
I think most of us come by our political beliefs fairly honestly. I think there's a subset of people who don't and who are angry and kind of rage-filled and vitriolic, and they're on TV. Those are the people we see on TV. We see these kind of like wings of people, and so we assume, oh, the other side's completely unreasonable. Everybody, all 45 million of them. And I just don't think that's true.
What made this one hard is, as parents, we all have dozens, hundreds, thousands of situations where you have to explain something to your kids. But on Tuesday night and then on Wednesday, I didn't know how to explain it because I couldn't figure it out myself.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what made it so difficult for me.
Yeah, no, and it's tricky. I mean, you know, I think talking to your kids about this, especially, you know, when you sit where we sit and you didn't necessarily support the guy who won. And you didn't support every single thing that came out of his mouth before he won.
Yeah.
And you know, your kids have heard some of these things.
Yeah.
You know, somebody said to me, a kid in my office said, you know, some of the things that he said would get a third grader expelled.
Right.
I thought was pretty,
it's true.
which was pretty true. And so how does he get rewarded in the end? And so we have to think about like, okay, how do we talk to our kids about this? And I think part of it has to be like, well, it's not all about what he says, but what he stands for. And a lot of people really believe in what they believe he stands for. And so we can't just ignore that. And maybe if we're our best, if we are kind to one another, if we don't bully one another, if we learn from what we know doesn't work and isn't kind and isn't culturally sensitive, well, then maybe we are modeling something for everyone. And our kids, I think, might be the ones who are able to do that better than we do. You know, I think we've done a very poor job of this in the last year and a half or so.
But what about, like, as a parent, as you're teaching your kid during their formative years, the importance of not lying, of telling the truth, and
yeah.
Some kid goes, hey, there were two people that just lied and lied and lied and lied, and they were running for president. One of them became the president.
Yeah.
So there's your theory on lying.
Right, right, right. And I think, you know, it's fair to say to your kids, you know, we're not necessarily thrilled with the choices that we had here. You know what I mean? But we what we had to, this is how America works. We had to make one of these choices. That doesn't mean we endorse the idea of being dishonest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it gives us the opportunity to open up that talk with our kids. You know what I mean? That like, well, we're not happy with any of this. You know, like we wish it were completely different and that really, really honest people ran Washington and ran this country. And you guys, our kids, you have the opportunity to create a culture where that can happen.
That's a good idea.
You know, we blew this. Maybe we can we can maybe cop to that.
Yeah.
But that there's hope in what our kids can bring to the table.
And I honestly am not a very good liar anymore. When I was a teenage girl and I was staying at someone's house when I might have been staying at another's house, I was able to lie to my mom pretty easily.
Right.
I have no reason to lie anymore, but I'm also not in a position that requires me to lie. Sometimes there are business people and bosses, and some people still lie.
Yeah. Yeah, it does open up a whole discussion about lying because, you know, like we create these nuances, you know. Well, you can bend the truth in order to not hurt somebody's feelings and things like that. What I hear from kids today is, no, I'm not much for that. I think you have to be really perfectly honest all the time. So I learned more about integrity from, you know, people who are younger than 17 than I do from people who are older in a lot of ways.
Sure.
Yeah.
What about these kids that see their parents go into something of a depression after the results are announced? I'm sure there were plenty of kids that had to deal with parents who were just like, oh, what do we do now? So how do you explain that to your kids?
You know, last week I was in the office, to my surprise, from Wednesday on until about 10:30 or 11 o'clock every night, trying to unravel that very thing, you know, like, you know,
yeah.
One session in particular was a young man trying to talk his mother out of the depression, you know, like kind of trying to reason with her that, you know, like things are going to be okay. You know, I just learned about government. There's checks and balances. And, you know, usually the laws are enacted from the bottom up, not the top down. So one guy in one house can't just decide how the world is going to run, you know. But so I think sometimes it's us. It's our generation that's not particularly reasonable about these things and gets upset and depressed. I think it's also an opportunity to talk to your kids about like being disappointed in something like this and yet accepting it.
Can't always get what you want.
Exactly. And yet accepting it like you guys are saying at the top here, right? You know, like 8 years ago, there were a whole lot of people who were really, really upset about that result of that election, you know? And I was talking to a guy yesterday who did not vote for Obama and he said, and I thought all sorts of terrible things were going to happen. I thought all my money is going to go away and, you know, he was going to come and, you know, bankrupt me somehow. And that didn't happen. It wasn't so bad. Sometimes I think we can learn from our own experiences and share that with our kids too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Go on.
No, we can take a break, but I also want to talk about when will the vitriol end on Facebook? And it isn't children. It's a lot of adults who I thought after the election was over, it's like, okay, we're all in this together. It's beneficial if Donald Trump does a really good job because we're all living here in the same country.
Right.
It's America. But there's still so many mean things going on. Like just because I voted for Trump doesn't mean I'm a racist.
Right.
There are a lot of gray areas. It's not so black and white. Can we discuss this when we come back?
Absolutely.
John Duffy is here. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right. Clinical psychologist, best-selling author, certified life coach, friend of our show, Dr. John Duffy. You can go to his website at drjohnduffy.com. Pick up his book, The Available Parent, which is amazing. We were talking about the election's over with. I don't know if anybody's noticed that.
And voting polls have closed.
Yes.
No more late voting allowed, right, John? They've stopped that.
And seeing on Facebook with mainly adults, because that's who I'm mainly friends with, not kids, they're still going back and forth like, oh, you voted for Trump. You must be a racist. Trump definitely displayed some racist views, but it doesn't mean that everyone who voted for him is a racist. Some people just wanted to break what was going and get a change.
Right.
And I don't think it's fair that we vote for what's best for us. Isn't that really the bottom line?
Absolutely, of course. By and large, I think that's the bottom line. And I think part of what people are doing on Facebook and other social media, they're looking for a salve, right? They're looking for some confirmation bias that, hey, the block that I still, you know, was a part of 2 weeks ago still exists out there. You know what I mean? And we still have some political power. And I think people want to know that there are like-minded people out there on either side. You know what I mean? the vitriol, I think at some point is going to dissipate because it's so negative in so many ways. My hope is that these blocks become kind of political blocks where, in fact, they can, like, maybe at some point in the future, get together, share ideas. Again, pie in the sky, I know, but get together, share ideas, and see what do we have in common, what do we disagree with, and really let the process to kind of take care of itself. I think culturally, we are far less anxious if we can get to that point. But as long as it is absolutely divisive, you know, people are freaked out and scared. And I think some of it might be justified, but a lot of it's completely irrational.
I was scared. I was embarrassed when Trump won as an American. I really was for a minute. And then I thought, you know what? I'm not the only one who has an opinion. The country really has spoken. I don't like it, but I didn't like George W. Bush either. I mean, I'm respecting the office of president, and I'm hoping against hope he does a great job because we're all in this together.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. And I think, you know, none of us is truly powerless. You know, I think that's where people really kind of get upset is when they think like, you know, oh, I cast my vote and I didn't win. And so I am powerless. But, you know, that's one thing I like about social media is you can kind of collect these blocks of people and that the masses there then can make some noise and have a voice, you know, and I think that's what people want now more than anything else.
John, we've received several texts from people saying you're all acting as if 100% of the country is upset with the result. We totally get the fact that there were half the people very pleased with what happened.
Absolutely.
The outcome of last week.
Yeah.
Which leads to my question, which is the last couple of weeks have been almost like a manic depressive holiday, you know, in that some very good things have happened, the Cubs, some very strange things have happened, the election.
Right.
So what do you tell people who come in and just go, I don't know what my emotions are doing, but I'm all over the place lately.
Right. You know, in a way, it's life. You know what I mean? It's life. It's magnified, right? It's amplified in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's our emotional lives. They sway, and some things are unpredictable, and we just need to ride with it. And to the writer's point, you know, right, there is an enormous block of people who are perfectly happy with the outcome of this election.
Yeah.
And there is nothing, certainly nothing wrong with that, because this is how the electoral process works. What concerns me is when we stop talking. You know what I mean? And that's what I fear about, like what you're talking about, Wendy, is we kind of hunker down into people who are thinking like us and acting like us instead of really taking this opportunity to recognize, boy, we're kind of 50-50 here and disagreeing. We should probably see what we can learn from one another at some point in the next few years.
I don't know if you're dealing with this, but I read stories about kids in here and in various parts of the country who are so afraid now of deportation, either for themselves or for other family members. So what do you tell a kid where everything is so up in the air right now, and we don't know exactly the enforcement of anything that Donald Trump said prior to the election? So how do you reassure them everything's going to be okay when, honestly, it's a mystery. It's a question mark.
Right. It is a bit of a question mark. It still remains that. I think it's important for parents to sit down with any kid who's anxious about any of this and reassure them. You know, we're still here for you. We are going to take care of you. There are other people in government who have an agenda to take care of you.
Yeah.
So you don't, at this point, you don't have to worry. And if we reach the point where we do, we can talk about it then.
Okay.
But now we're waiting for dust to settle.
We just got a text, too, and I have to address this, and go ahead and get mad at me, people. I don't care. We have a doctor to talk on his opinion as well. Why are we allowing our children to listen to all this? Children should not be involved in adult politics. I've seen this on Facebook, too, where someone comments, my children are scared. What do I tell them? And someone will comment saying, why are your children involved? They can't vote. You know what? I wasn't involved in politics before I could vote. I really wasn't.
Right.
I didn't pay attention. It might be the time. But right now, kids are more involved in absolutely everything, and we should not shield them.
No
your
way.
Thoughts?
There is no shielding them. I mean, I get the point. And I think if this were 30 years ago, I think there's a solid point to be made there that maybe we can protect our kids from some of this discourse. But Right now, our kids can find whatever they want anyway. They're going to find this stuff online. They're going to share it with each other. And I got to tell you, I think that's a better story. I mean, I kind of like the kids are involved in
Me
this
too.
Stuff. I like the mock elections that they hold in schools and things like that. I like that kids are starting to really think critically about how they think, how each other thinks. The earlier this stuff starts, I think the better. And
they'll be a better voter.
Of course.
When they're able to.
More informed and better and kind of maybe well-rounded than a lot of us are. I don't know that there's a real downside to it. And even if there were, there is no protecting our kids from this stuff. It is out there and they are exposed to it. So I think we're making the best of it by having a mock elections and having them talk about it. And I think it's important to ask your kids, well, what do you think? What are you feeling about it?
Yeah. If people want to hear more of John, WGN Plus has his podcast.
Yes. I am hooked on it, by the way. I love it.
People are liking it,
thank
John.
You.
You're doing a
Undo
great job
Anxiety.
With it.
Undo Anxiety, yes.
Also, the book, The Available Parent, makes a great Christmas gift. There's a pop-up version that's great for the kids. I love the pop-up
version. The coloring version is fun.
It's fantastic. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
A quick break, and then more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN.